Hello!
And welcome to Gilmore Girls Revisited! I'm Carissa.
I'm Michelle. Thank you for joining us.
Today we'll be talking about episode 2, The Lorelei's First Day at Chilton.
So this week's episode aired on October 12th in the year 2000, and the summary is from Up TV. So, a t-shirt, shorts, and cowboy boots clad Lorelei accompanies Rory on her first day at school, drawing disapproving stares from the other mothers and from Lorelei's own mother, Emily. Lorelei and Emily argue over money for Rory.
So, as you all know, Rory has left her public school.
No more Stars Hollow.
Hi. She is in Hanover, the capital of Connecticut, I think.
Hartford.
Hartford, neither with an H. and has begun the
private school experience.
Yeah, so we are experiencing these first day jitters. And right away, you know, she is sort of welcomed by just very interesting people. And, you know, you can tell off the bat that there's just, like, a level of excellence that's expected of her. And the headmaster kind of, like,
sets the stage for everything, really.
Yeah, he was...
That first meeting with Rory.
And her mom.
And Emily.
And her grandma, yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah. So, this really kind of sets the tone in the for the rest of the episode because the headmaster, you know, already kind of just tells her, you know, we're not expecting you to do well. Like, you're going to fail, essentially. And, you know, that's not easy to hear as, like, a new transfer student, like, when the school year has already started. So,
yeah, like, Rory is shy as it is. And we do see that she seems to be, like, a very intelligent student, a very bright student. But hearing the headmaster literally say, like, we're expecting you to fail, and that's not acceptable, that already makes her even more nervous than she already was. But like Carissa mentioned, not only is she given this welcome by the headmaster Charles, maybe, she meets three other students. She meets Paris Geller, which we're going to know more about. She meets Paris Geller's BFFs, Louise and Madeline. And Carissa, you want to tell us a little bit about Paris Geller?
Oh, gosh.
The Paris Geller?
Where do I begin with Paris Geller? She is the antagonist?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Either or. She really gets Rory, like, going the first day. Right away, that's going to be her frenemy. Like, Rory wants to get to know her, wants to be her friend. Paris is like, this is my turf. Watch out. Don't get in my way.
Yeah. And from the get-go, we already see that Paris is already a little bit intimidated of Rory just by reading her student's transcript, which I thought was wild that she went out of her way to try to get that information. But it seems like Paris mentioned she wants to be in the newspaper. She's already in this college newspaper, already intimidated, and asked Rory, like, are you going to try out for the Franklin?
What's the Franklin?
That's the name of the college newspaper.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
High school.
Wrong season. High school newspaper. So we already see that kind of competitiveness between them. And Paris isn't your traditional mean girl. She isn't like the girls from Mean Girls or anything like that. She doesn't seem that she's like that popular. She seems a little bit awkward at times. She's very focused on school and being number one.
And getting into Harvard
because all of her family members have gotten into Harvard. So that's where Paris Geller sees herself. But there was this one situation, I think it was closer to the end, where Paris and Rory had this weird altercation, and it turns out they were in the same class. But at the end, Paris, being her aggressive self, kept answering the questions, their teacher's questions, before the teacher even finished. And then what did Rory do, Carissa?
She did the same thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I can answer this Martin Luther question, too.
Faster than you
faster
can.
Faster than you can, Paris.
Homegirl has competition, and it's the Rory Gilmore from Source Hollow.
So the other character that we meet is the hottie Tristan, which you will all know him as Chad Michael Murray. From One Tree Hill, which that's like a whole other podcast because there's so much drama in them. But we get the pleasure of seeing him on Gilmore Girls before he makes it over to One Tree Hill.
Mm-hmm. No complaints here.
No complaints here. But he's this sort of like
Mr. Cool Dude, popular.
He's kind of douchey. But he is like the popular boy. And he calls Rory Mary and all day.
The name's Rory.
Right. She's like, it's Rory. But all day he's calling her Mary. Mary this, Mary that.
On the first day of school.
And so when her mom goes to pick her up, she's like, and this boy just kept calling me Mary all day. And her mom is like, oh my God, they're still using that. Like, and she's like, what? What does it mean? And he's calling her, like, you know, because she's fresh. She's new. It's like,
a goody-goody.
So
Mary is calling her, like, the Virgin Mary. So she's too innocent. A goody-goody. And Rory felt a little bit offended. And she's like, well, what would they be calling me if I wasn't such a goody-goody? And she said,
They would throw a Mary Magdalene or a Magdalene after that.
So, like Rory said, biblical insults, literally a whole new world. And one of the reasons why Rory is willing to deal with all of these new experiences, challenging roadblocks, is because she's, like we mentioned in the first episode, she's very driven. She wants to go to Harvard. Not only that, we also learned that she wants to be a journalist. She shared with the headmaster her career aspirations. And he didn't really take that lightly. He made sure to, like, kind of put her in her place a little bit. I'm like, oh, so you just want to be on TV? You just want to do this? So Rory knows that she's going to have to prove herself. I think she mentioned, which is one of the pop culture references, is she mentioned wanting to be like Christiane Amanpour, who is a journalist. And I think she's usually on CNN.
She's a real person, guys.
She's a real person, yeah. And I think at that point she was like covering wars and like civil wars and everything like that in different parts of the world, like out in the ground, in the boots, capturing everything. So we know that Rory wants to be a journalist, and saying that Christiane Amanpour is her role model, like throughout the season or even throughout the series, we're gonna be able to see if Rory is going to be able to live up to that. Because I don't know about you, Carissa, but when I was 16 or 15, I had no idea what I wanted to be. And I do marketing and communications, and I guess I could have had an idea that that's what I would have done if I kind of knew more about this field. But back then, I'm like, I don't know. What is there to be?
Yeah, like, I literally did not know that political science was a thing. Like, I knew social studies was.
Yeah, or history.
Or history, or, like, you know, the typical AP Gov. But it was, like, I didn't know that that was, like, a field you could get into. And the cool thing about Rory that you, like, that we see within ourselves is that she wanted to, like, do a political science journalism. And, like, Michelle and I are, like, a good blend of that because I was poli-sci, she was communications and poli-sci. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we understand, like, where the drive comes from. But in high school, I definitely did not know. I thought I was going to go into biology. Like, thought I was going to be a doctor.
Nerd alert. I thought I was going to be an anchor woman on Good Morning America, WGN Morning News.
There you go. Keep it local.
Robin Baumgarten, I'm coming for your job. No, just kidding. Love you, girl.
The second storyline that we follow throughout this episode is Emily's sort of over-involvement in Rory's life. I think she feels that her granddaughter going to Chilton and her and Richard playing such a large part.
Financial part,
yeah. Of her being able to send Rory to Chilton really sets the foundation for her just inserting her life more and, you know, calling up Lorelai, asking her if she has enough uniforms. She wants to buy her, like, a sweater with the the school crest and socks with the crest and like, oh, maybe let's throw in a parking spot. And
yeah, we really get to see Emily fully comfortable in this space. So she, what I noticed personally is before when Lorelai was living in Stars Hollow and then sometimes would visit her parents, they couldn't really relate to that Stars Hollow life. It's not like they were going to just drop by or just had an excuse to drop by. But now that Rory is at Chilton and that's like her world, that's her space, being inside such a prestigious institution and knowing all those places. Like when we mentioned in the start as well, in that first meeting with the headmaster on Rory's first day at school, who was there before Lorelai and Rory?
Emily.
Yeah, she was there chatting it up with her BFF headmaster. So it's interesting to see Emily making sure she has that opportunity and takes advantage of that opportunity to make herself known. Not only do we see Emily getting involved at Chilton, like physically inside of the building, but we also see her getting involved in Lorelai's Stars Hollow life. And the first thing we notice with that is the setting up the internet, the DSL. So Lorelai doesn't have high-speed internet. Emily sees that as a problem. So right away, without even consulting Lorelai, Emily goes and schedules that. And we actually see, so in the pilot episode or the second episode, he's known as Mick. But going forward, we're going to see him as Kirk. So famous Kirk. Yay! His first job was the internet dude. Personally, I would have not complained at all if my mom wanted to get me and my daughter high-speed internet, but...
Yeah, but I think Lorelai saw this as, like, you don't think I can provide enough for my daughter that, like, you have to come and install internet into our home. Like, it was just...
My internet isn't good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And it just goes back to the rifts between Emily and Lorelai. And, I mean, even when, unfortunately... Emily had to see Lorelai in her get-up with she looked, as she quoted herself, looking like the chick from the Dukes of Hazzard, so for a visual, walking into Chilton. And, you know, her mom was like, oh my gosh, do you need a ride or is your horse parked outside? Just like the insults just start coming right away with her mom. So it's never, like, any help is never, it's love conditionally. And there's this form of, like, strings attached. Like, I have this say now, and I'm going to give her the internet, so now you're going to have to give me something in return. Mm-hmm. It's never unconditional. It's like, there's a condition to everything with Emily.
Yeah, and Lorelai really thrives and sees herself as being independent and being able to provide for Rory. So I can definitely see how this isn't cool with her. One of the other things I noticed, and you mentioned it earlier, is how Emily calls Lorelai and is asking her, like, does she need a coat? Does she need this? Does she need a parking space? Why does she need a parking space, Mom? She doesn't have a car. Well, get her a car. Or the funny part where she's like, fine, if you're going to get her a coat, get her a 10 in case she grows. And Emily's like, if she grows, I'll get her another coat. I love that.
And yeah, I mean, there's definitely the form of sort of this, her love language is through gifts and monetary things.
That's
and,
what I think.
Yeah, I kind of think, I mean, in the beginning, I think that's probably the easiest way to get, especially a kid like Rory, in like the graces of her grandparents and around. I mean, Lorelai, I think, kind of sees like all of these things with, you know, strings attached to it right away. But... unfortunately, right now, I think it's the only way that Emily and Richard know how to show their support and, like, affection.
Especially because they're not that close.
Right, right. So, like, any words that she says to her that seem that she wants to be genuine aren't going to be portrayed that way because of their past relationship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Lorelai says, you know, she's my daughter and I decide how we live kind of thing, which is... the sentiment at the very end of the episode when she's kind of like had enough of her mom kind of interjecting all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a parent, but I could definitely see how, as an outsider, as, like, you're a family, but you're also an outsider, it's easy for me to have opinions about my niece and my nephews. Or even my parents, they have, like, strong opinions on how my sister should raise her kids. Mm-hmm. But we see it from a different point of view.
Right.
So, the best point of view that I'm getting. no, so I could definitely see why Lorelai gets upset. But I feel like that's also kind of normal. I don't know. Toxic families for life? No. No, I think Emily's really sweet. And I think she's in a tough spot because she's trying to mend this relationship, but she doesn't know how. Like, if she never had the best relationship with Lorelai to begin with, it's definitely going to take a lot of work. But at least she's there and she's trying. And then the third storyline that we see in this episode, or we continue seeing in this episode, is Lorelai dating. She meets a Chilton dad on the first day, and she seems very excited about it. Rory seems surprisingly fine with it.
I think she's just like, Mom, like, can we go meet with the headmaster, please?
Yeah, that happened when they were running late, so maybe she wasn't that into it. I did think it was kind of weird that he showed up to, like, I think Lorelai did say, like, the name of her business, but I found it weird that he actually went and saw her that same day.
I mean, persistency is key these days.
I know,
it's like, hard out there.
I mean, at least he went there for, like, a dinner, so it's not like he was trying to, like, or a lunch or something. So it's not like he was trying to, like, mooch off of her or something like that.
Right, but he, like, her business. He made the drive, which, you know, after really not knowing her, we were like, what?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I think I'm more excited by the comments Rory made later in the episode when they were in Luke's diner.
Wait.
Or that was, like, right afterwards?
Right after. No, Lorelai was like, so, do you think Luke's cute? And Rory was like, jaw to the floor, back away from Luke. Like, if you ruin this, Mom, we can't ever have coffee here. And we all know how much she loves to go to have coffee there.
Yeah, and I think she said something funny like, why don't you date Al? His food sucks.
Oh, Al's, yeah, Al's pancake world. There's not just pancakes there. As we may know throughout the rest of the series, is that there's Chinese food and pizza. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's like, date Al.
I think they have, like, an international day where you can do, like, a surprise lunch or something. I don't know. Very creative, we'll say. He knows how to keep business when his food supposedly sucks. But, yeah, right away, we already get this, like, in our heads where maybe Luke and Lorelai could be a thing. I don't know. Rory didn't seem too happy because she loves eating at Luke's. So, I don't know. What kind of impression did you get from Rory? I wouldn't say, like, oh, he's, like, I feel like the way that Lorelai said, oh, do you think Luke's cute, wasn't in the, oh, I'm just playing around kind of, like, talk where when you're bored and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, is he cute? Is he cute when you're just bored where you are momentarily or whatever? I feel like she had more of that. I don't know, I feel like she had different intentions when she said it.
I mean, I also...
She sounded too flirty.
Yeah, I mean, in Spanish, we call it, she was giving him ojitos.
Oh, yes.
From the other side, which basically, like, she was looking at him with, like cutesy little eyes.
Yes.
Like, okay, I think I see you not just as cute. Like, her asking Rory, do you think he's cute, to me, seemed more like, do you think it would work? Like,
yeah.
is he not just, like, a regular, like, someone who I would just, you know, date, but, like, actually be in a relationship with and, like, do, like, you know, be...
Put some feelers out.
Yeah, put some feelers out. And so that's why it was, like, a weighted question. It was so much more than, like, oh, my God, he's cute. Do you think so?
Yeah, and then it's hard because Lorelai is a flirt. Like, she can definitely flirt. So it's hard to tell whether she's just being fun, her normal self, or she had different intentions. But I definitely think Luke is cute, Lorelai. If you would have asked me, I would have been like, yes, yeah. Girl. Yes.
Let's get that coffee on discount.
Yes. I feel like they usually do.
I don't even know if they've ever had a bill.
No, I've seen them have bills before, but I think, like, they could have a a tab open or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there every day, so it's not like they're not going to pay.
Pay them weekly.
But, oh, yeah, like, earlier in that first, one of the first few scenes when Lorelai went to get coffee at Luke's when she was still wearing her Daisy Dukes outfit with her short shorts, she was telling him how stressful her morning was and how hard it was seeing her mom at Chilton and her being all prepared, and Lorelai obviously wasn't because she was running late. And I think he gave her coffee on the house.
No, he totally did.
So he's like, I think that's why. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, I guess. So as we saw in one of the first, the second scene maybe, Lorelai wakes up late and she doesn't have enough time to get ready. I don't know why Rory just didn't wake her up earlier, but Lorelai's late and apparently everything's at the cleaners. She has nothing to wear except the short shorts, the, what was the kind of, like, it was like a t-shirt, it was like a that's like pink tie-dye.
Jinx.
Okay, I'm not gonna talk. No. And then she wears cowboy boots. Like, girl, you don't have any sneakers.
Yeah.
I'm all for that look. Like, I literally, I was scrolling. I had my Facebook memories alert. And, oh, God, how long ago? Maybe, like, 10 years ago. There's a picture of me in a summer science class wearing short shorts, boots, and a t-shirt with my, what do you call it? With, like, my goggles and my Bunsen burner and everything. Oh, yeah. I'm like, wow. So I definitely appreciate Lorelai's outfit. And I think it's easy for us to agree that that is the most memorable fashion of the episode.
Oh, for sure. It's, like, it's everything everyone talks about. Like, yeah.
It's literally conversation for the whole town.
For the whole town.
Hashtag, like, small town living.
What is it? Patty says something. Miss Patty. And
Luke.
Luke.
Emily says
how could we forget Emily?
Suki's, I think she was positive. But Suki and Lorelai talk about it, and
well, that just brings me to my favorite scene of, like, she was like, I was not supposed to look like this. And then Lorelai comes in her, like, little pantsuit with, like, okay, so it wasn't a pantsuit. It was, like, the pantsuit jacket, but, like, a skirt. And the skirt was, like, above her knee. She looks so fly. She comes into the kitchen telling Suki, like, don't I look good in this? I know I look good in this. This is what I was supposed to look like going to Chilton. And I agree. I thought she looked great.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene.
She looked awesome. So I don't know why Homegirl did not set multiple alarms. But, I mean, goes to show you, she got hit on when she woke up late. So that just tells you how flawless Lorelai Gilmore is.
What was your favorite scene?
I think my favorite scene, I mean, especially early on, I was obsessed with Chad Michael Murray. So I think, and especially, like, sometimes he's a douche, but then there's certain parts where it's, like, I feel like they're young enough where, well, yeah, they're kind of border that age where the guy that, like, this guy has a crush on you, and instead of showing you, he kind of, like, makes fun of you a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got that vibe, and Chad Michael Murray is so dreamy, so I think that first scene, maybe, I think that might be my favorite scene. Mm. He's so smooth. But then that kind of borderline.
Had so much game at 16.
I know. But sometimes he was a jerk.
Oh, he was a total jerk.
Yeah, I think that was definitely my favorite scene. In that scene, we also see Lorelai is a very confident woman. And we see that pretty much throughout the series. But later on in that conversation you mentioned, she talks to Suki how, like, this outfit makes her feel so much more confident. She looks much more confident. She feels so much put together. And I don't know if it's because she was caught off guard when her mom was there. Or, I mean, Lorelai is a very fashionable woman. So, for you, like, how do you see yourself? Do you feel like certain clothes make you feel a certain way? Or do you feel like, oh, no, it's all the same. It's what's inside that makes everything come out. Or do you feel more confident in certain clothes?
I mean, I definitely feel, like, confident in, like, especially, it's very situational. So, if, like, if you're at work, if you know you have a meeting that day, like, I feel, like, 1,000 times better when I have, like, a pair of heels on. You know, I'm a shorter woman. So the heels, like, really just, like, give you a little boost of confidence, literally and figuratively. And I mean, the expression, like, you look good, you feel good, and that's up for interpretation to whoever is wearing whatever. But for me, like, you know, putting on, like, a nicer, like, suit, especially for such an important event, like your daughter's first day at school, definitely helps set the tone for you and, like, what you want people to think of you guys as a family unit. Right. But, you know, these days in quarantine, like, where I was just, like, in a hoodie and leggings, like, that was okay, too. Sometimes you just need to, like, be comfortable. But, you know, it's funny. Rory was, like, not even fazed or really embarrassed. I would have been like, you're not getting out of the car, like, to drop me off. But Rory was like, what are you doing? Like, you're going inside. And Lorelai was like, what do you mean I'm going inside? Do you see the way that I look? Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I thought that was pretty cool of Rory. Be like, I don't care how you look. Like, you're going in with me, Mom. Like, I know I'm, like, 16, but I'm still scared of going by myself. So, you know, at that moment, clothes didn't really matter. She was like, I just want my mom there.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, even though I like Lorelai's outfit, if it was what I saw, like, a controversial quotation marks outfit, then maybe I think I would have been fine with just telling my mom, like, it's fine, stay home, I can figure it out. But I feel like Rory was in such a new environment that her mom had experienced it, so I feel like she really needed her comfort zone, her comfort blanket, being her mom, your mommy. No, I think for me, I feel more comfortable if I'm wearing clothes that are comfortable. So even if it's, like, work clothes or jeans or whatever it may be, if the jeans are comfortable, if the shoes, even if they're heels, but they're comfortable heels, then I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. But if it's, like, and it's weird because sometimes, like, dress pants can be more comfortable than jeans. Sometimes a suit is more comfortable than wearing regular clothes. I think it's just feeling how you want to feel that day and what you feel comfortable wearing. Like, if you didn't sleep well, you might think that you might need to dress and look better and then do your makeup or whatever it may be to have that extra boost. But there were certain days when if I knew I had, like, a very intense work day where I knew I had a lot of deadlines that I needed to meet and I didn't really have meetings, then I'm like, okay, maybe today I'll wear a more casual work outfit instead of my suit because then I could get super cozy. I'll have, like, a bun or a ponytail, and I can just be dedicated, knowing I'm going to be at my desk, making sure I have comfortable shoes, and have that environment be comfortable. But if I know I'm going to be having a lot of meetings, and this was back pre-quarantine when we were at the office, then I'm like, okay.
We took in-person meetings.
Yeah, I'm like, well, this day I have a lot more meetings. Like, maybe I'll put on a little bit more makeup. Maybe I'll wear my nicer shirt because I have clothes that need to be worn. As much as I would want to, I can't always wear... Yeah, I can't always wear the same cozy clothes, at least pre-quarantine, I don't know. I'm liking my quarantine attire of, like leggings and sweats and joggers and gym shorts and
it's
all
that. It's definitely
nicer,
especially in the winter months. I do miss the summer dresses, but...
Oh, yeah, I definitely miss. I was cleaning out my closet, so I know. And then I noticed, like, dresses that I didn't wear and I bought, like, in the springtime. I'm like, no!
I know. Ugh. It's okay. We would just tell ourselves, next summer.
Yeah, what if it's not trendy anymore? What am I going to do? What if I hate it? Ugh. Who knows? We'll see. Hopefully we get to wear a lot of fashionable fall and winter outfits. Even if it's at the comfort of our own home.
Right. Layer it up.
This wraps up season 1, episode 2. What did you guys all think about this episode? Paris, do you love her or hate her? Is Emily being too overbearing?
Are you guys intrigued to know more about Lorelai's dating life? And do you think Luke is cute? Let us know. Follow us on Instagram at Gilmore Girls Revisited and on Twitter at GG Revisited.
Until next time.